Morning. We're going to be looking into the Bible in 1 John. So that's near the back of the Bible. It's right before Revelation. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7. And to read for us, Maggie Tindorf will come and read, please.
I'm reading from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is the word of God.
Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we come to your word now, we acknowledge that it is the word of God. Thank you for your grace that you've given to us, that we might know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might grow in him, that we might hear from you through the word, that we might have that fellowship that you desire, that we need. And so please use this time to accomplish your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we have acknowledged, Kathy and I were gone for quite a while. And coming back, I wanted to share some of the things that I've been thinking about and that I was reading about, that I was studying, meditating on as we drive and have some quiet time. And so one of the things that I came around to was the Bible talks a lot about light. And I got to thinking about in my life, how does that work out? To live in the light as he is in the light. How does that actually work out? And so this morning, what I'd like to do is just focus on the title of the message is Make Use of the Light. And as Maggie read this passage this morning, this is the message we have heard from you and declare to you that God is light. And so I would like to focus in on that. God is the light, but what is the purpose of the light? We have that in those verses. And from God's perspective, he wants to have the fellowship with us. Life is about fellowship with him. All of creation, we take a look around and we see the general revelation that God has given about himself in the creation. We live in a beautiful place. And even though some people don't like the snow, God has given us seasons. And so there's all these things that we look around and we see certain things about God. But he's also given us a special revelation, the Word of God. And he's given that to us so that we might have fellowship with him. In Colossians chapter 1, it tells us that all things were created by him, but they were created for him. And so God delights in his creation. He's glad that we can see certain things about him in his creation. Even people were created for God's special pleasure and created for fellowship. What happened? How come people don't want God brought up in public places? How come people raise a stink when someone brings something to school that relates to God? Maybe not here. We may be the fortunate ones here. But in other school districts, it can really draw sparks for someone to bring up. But this is what the Bible says. Well, a lot of people disregard that. What happened? Romans chapter 5 tells us that sin entered the world. And through all of that, people turned away from God. That communion with God has been broken. The fellowship is not common anymore among the people of this world. And so Jesus came to take the penalty for the sin and the penalty we deserve and arose to life. His death brought about a reconciliation so that there's renewed fellowship. And that fellowship is to give believers the greatest pleasure. And that's what I'd like for us to kind of get the taste of today. That God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're celebrating Christmas this month, and it's coming up really soon, that God sent His Son in order to reconcile us to God, to take the sin out of the way and bring light into our lives. So God joins us in this journey through life, through grief, through death, and into life again. What does the Bible say here? God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. What do you think of when you think of God being light? There's no blemish. There is no confusion. There is no deception. There is no neglect. But perfectly pure. I was reading about the crisis that's going on in Hong Kong. And, you know, for so long, for 99 years, England had the UK had a lease of Hong Kong. And when that lease was up, China took Hong Kong back. But it came with certain promises of democracy, promises of self-rule, promises of continued business. China was the huge nation that was giving this little island nation statements that you will still be free until they've had it a little while and decided they've had it up to here with Hong Kong being free. And so they started drawing back on their promises. And this great powerful nation and a little island, they're having the demonstrations there. Is it going on this weekend again, I believe? And there are the yellows and the blues. The yellows are saying, we want democracy now. And the blues are saying, hey, let's go along with what the big government says. And just like in most churches in the United States, there are people who are for this and people who are against this and trying to muddle our way through, trying to follow the Lord. It's good that God is light, that there's no corruption in Him, that the pastors in Hong Kong are facing mixed congregations, and some like you and some don't. Some think you ought to go strongly this way, and some think you ought to go strongly this way, and it's being torn all apart. What do you do when things like that happen? Who's above everything? Who's above all? What's on the front of our bulletin? I think. Used to be. Well, where all are welcome and what? Jesus is Lord. And that's what we want to submit to. Because He's the only one without corruption. He's the only one that discerns what's right and what's wrong. He's the only one that can give us the truth. And His love is untarnished. No matter what the situation is, He loves people on both sides of the fence, on both sides of an issue. God loves them. In our prayers, we can submit our problems and our situations to God. But there's something here that the Bible says, in him there is no darkness at all, but if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. What does it look like to live in the darkness? What does it look like when people make a claim, but it's not true? To live in the dark, people are ignoring and disobedient to God's word. Ignoring God's word. When it says specifically, do this, and they say, no, no. One of the things that I ran into myself was that people were living together. I spoke to them, and they said, don't you think God should change because we live in the 21st century now? Isn't that backwards? In him is light. There is no darkness. But to claim that we live in the light, but actually live in the darkness, we lie. Don't do the truth. They live without considering God's will and purpose. What is God's will? It's that we honor him, that we extol him, we hold him up, we honor him with our words, with our actions, and we're obedient. To live in the dark is to say, no, I don't care about God's will. No, I don't care about what his word says. I'm going to live my life kind of like the farmers in North Dakota. Now, some of you may be from North Dakota, and I'm glad you're here and not in North Dakota anymore. But when we talk to farmers in North Dakota and it's been a bad year, what do they say? There's always next year. We'll take care of the problem when we face it again. And that's the attitude of some people is, I'm going to live the way I'm going to live. It happened in the big hole in Montana too, so we're not just picking on. Do you suppose it could happen here too? Not picking on any region, but they say, I'll handle the problem when it comes up. And I'm going to live my life as I please, not concerned about God's will, because when it comes time to judgment, I'll deal with that when the time comes. Good luck with that. For it is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. The interests of people who are walking in the dark are their self-interests, self-exaltation, reputation. And what do we lump that under? Pride. We can call all that that goes on pride. So what is happening when we walk in the light? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So what is happening when we walk in the light? We will walk with a desire to follow the truth. We will walk desiring to fellowship with God in the truth. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 8 about the truth? You will know the truth, and what will happen? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Free from the bondage of sin, free from the guilt of your sin, the truth will set you free. walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, one of the things that sometimes we read into that is that we have fellowship among ourselves. And that's really not what it's speaking about. The first thing that it speaks of is that we will have fellowship, one, us personally, with the other, who is the Lord. We will have fellowship one with another. And what comes out of that is that we have fellowship within the congregation, because we're tied together with the same life through the Holy Spirit. But we have the fellowship one with another. So there's this close-knit fellowship that withholds no secrets. Okay, so we're living our life, and like a lady in one of the Sunday school classes or Bible studies said one time, and someone else was leading the study, and he said, just think of it. God knows everything that you do. And she said, yeah, but you know what I'm really afraid of? Is that my mom and dad find. Well, you know, you can keep a secret from mom and dad, but God knows. God knows the whole story. He knows everything that's gone on in our lives. And in close-knit fellowship with God, we walk in the light. Everything is exposed to Him, but He is calling us to fellowship. He's not saying, hey, you know what? I am light, and I'm turning a big beam onto all you do and onto your life, so that I might strike you. No, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But He brings us into His light so that we might know the truth, walk in His ways and in His purpose and perform His will. Something else that happens is that thought patterns are identified and the source is revealed. You know where I got that? Probably a psalm you're familiar with, and you might even sing a song about it every once in a while. It's in Psalm 139. And it says, search me, O God. Do you ever sing that song? And know my heart today. Try me. Know my thoughts, I pray. That's what this psalm says. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. These are verse 22, 23 and 24. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah. This is what God wants us to do in this, to have this close fellowship, union with Him, that our thought patterns would be identified. Last week I talked about the sources of input we turn our faith different ways, and when we receive Christ, we turn our faith toward God. And God, I respond to you. Save me. Make me yours. But this ability or conduit for relating to God can also be turned away. And Satan can fill our thoughts. And we can put our faith in things that Satan brings up. And so one of the things that happens when we pray this kind of prayer, Lord, search me, because, you know, I'm still frail, I'm still human, I still make mistakes, I still wander at times and wonder. But Lord, my intent is to be turned to you, that I turn my face to you, that I'm open to you, that I'm instructed by you. As Psalm 139 says, to lead me in the way everlasting. Please do that. So the thought patterns are identified, and then there's also the sin that's prompt and obedience that is Spirit-led. That's from walking in the light. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son purifies us from all sin. We want to be pure so that we can fulfill God's purpose for us. We want to be pure and Spirit-led so that we obey. So there must be the communication. Walking in the light involves communication. Listen to the Word of God and pray. The Spirit will bring things to our attention. Even these requests that were given this morning, do we know what would be best for, let's see, her name was Leanne? Do we know what would be best for Leanne? Not necessarily, but when we pray and we read the Word, can things come to mind that we would pray for Leanne, whose husband died suddenly in a fall? We can ask God for insight. Lord, how do I pray for this? We can pray generally, just see her through the problem, help her adjust. But are there certain things, you might know them a little better, Michael knows them a little better, but we don't. But to share in that kind of request when we don't know, can we be looking to God and saying, you know what, you put me in this situation where I heard about this, but I don't really know how to pray. God, give me insight. Bring things to my attention. Can I pray? Yes. So we listen to the Word of God and we pray by the Holy Spirit. So when John wrote in 1 John, the Son, or the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin, we can be confident that we are always in the fellowship with God. Because what the tense that this is put in, the blood of Jesus purifies us, it cleanses us from all sin, is keeps on cleansing us. So no matter what the situation is, we don't have to go down through all this long list and say, am I in fellowship with you or not? Am I doing what you want me to do or not? The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from all sin. It's cleansing you from all sin. In John chapter 8, I'd like you to turn there, verse 12, because Jesus offered this light to his disciples. John chapter 8 and verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now the disciples help us out here because they were certainly handicapped. That makes me feel better. They weren't perfect. In fact, when Peter was with Jesus along with all the other disciples, Jesus pointed him out and he said, your name is Peter, or Cephas. And on this rock, which your name means, on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against it. What an elation! Wow! Did you hear what Jesus said? That would be really good. Except, a little while later, Jesus begins telling the disciples that they're going to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer. He's going to be beaten by the chief priests and elders. And he will be crucified. He'll die. And Peter took him off to the side and said, that will never happen to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Oh, where did that thought come from? That wasn't a God thought when Peter said that. It was satanic thought. For you don't care for the things of God. You're not being guided by the things of God, but by the things of man. You're being guided along right here, Peter, by the enemy of your soul. Get behind me, Satan. So the disciples were definitely handicapped. But what had Jesus said in order to get his disciples to come along with him? He said two words: follow me. Follow me. Now, they were going to grow through these experiences. They weren't perfect when they followed, were they? When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that similar to what he said to you? Follow me. Come to me. Be forgiven of your sin. Come into my family. Come into the fold, into the sheepfold. Come in. And so when Jesus says that to us too, he also gives us an illustration of what that means. And the illustration is in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was talking about the ways, Matthew chapter 7. And we can see an illustration here of what it is to walk in the light or to walk in the darkness. Jesus said to follow me, and then he enlarged on that, and he would tell them over and over and over different ways of following. And here in the Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Darkness is the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. That is changed. Will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about the broad gate. I told you last week a story about the senior center that I went to a few times on our trip. Kathy was doing something else. I was in a situation I could go to the senior center. And so I did. And, you know, that's one of the things you do when you get older, I guess, is you go to the senior center. And as I was sitting there with people I knew, and I looked, and this lady was coming through the door, and she had two big boxes. And she had to open the door and pull it around and try and get through the door. And she was struggling with that. And just in thinking that I could help, I jumped up and started walking toward her rapidly. But someone at the table said, don't get up. She can handle herself. And I thought, you know, I think you're speaking out of darkness. I think you care about yourself. I don't think you're caring about other people. I don't think God's had a place of moving you to see what you can do to help other people. And that darkness was very real. The kind of darkness that says, you know what, I just believe that I ought to follow my heart. That can be really, really dark too. What's wrong with the heart? Jeremiah wrote, the prophet of God, and he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do you want to leave your life in the care of your heart? It's better to leave your heart in the hands of God. You can follow your heart. You can follow your instincts as you say, Lord, I present myself to you. Guide me today. Guide my heart. I don't want it to be dark. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's also the narrow way. In Matthew 7. And he says, there are few that enter it. but it leads to life. It opens the gate to eternal life. How? How do we make use of the light? How do we make use of the light that God says, in the light you have fellowship one with another? How do we make use of the light that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'd suggest a couple things. Desire to glorify God, and that prompts our choices to help and to love and to care. It's never wrong to do what is right before God. And then yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We read the Bible, and we read it with an appreciation that God is going to reveal to us what the fruit of the Spirit is. He'll live it out in us. Do you recall what those fruit of the Spirit are? And where they're going to be lived out? In the home? In the neighborhood? In our driving? In our business dealings? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. When we talk about the things that we say and that will reveal our faith is taking hold of what God says or what an enemy of our soul says. And when these things happen, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know what? There's not a law against those. Against such, there is no law. And whatever the circumstances are, whether it's in a senior center, there's not a law against helping people. But what does it show instead? God cares for that person. You know, one of the things, and I don't want to be patting myself on the back, but it just illustrated to me something that happens when you do what's right is that the cooks in that senior center were happy to see me come. Why? Because there was something about me that wasn't in the majority of those senior center people. There was something that was happening that was different in the mood that happened at that senior center. The Holy Spirit works through individuals. One of the things I did get to do was to visit with another pastor in there, and he brought that. He brought that mood, that spirit awareness, awesomeness of God into the senior center. But it's something that we can always do that's right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 summarizes what we need to respond to. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Live fully exposed to God, fully dependent on God, and have that closeness of fellowship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your light is given by you, by your choice. Your light is your person, your Son, your Holy Spirit that dwell in us. We walk in the light as you are in the light. And thank you that we have the union and the fellowship with Almighty God, that your Spirit leads us in understanding the Bible, that leads us in prayer so that we can lift up other people and see you work. You didn't call us to pray without saying that you'd also answer, so we thank you that we can pray in faith. But help us to walk in the light, to be aware of that today, to be aware that we fail, but that doesn't hinder because we confess our sins and we move on. But thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. We pray in his name.